And welcome back, everybody, to episode 247 of Environmental Weekly. I'm your host, Jack Riesmer. We are located here in Orange County, California. It's December 8th, 2020, end of a crazy year. And today we are joined by Drew Cayley. Say hello, Drew.
Hello. How's everyone doing?
Doing great, doing great. Tell us a little about yourself. Who are you?
All right. Yeah. So I'm Drew Cayley. I am an environmentalist, went to Gonzaga University for 4 years, and then finished up my education over in Seattle at University of Washington, which is where I'm located now. I study engineering, mostly specifically in the environmental aspects of it. And that's why I'm here.
Great. Well, it sounds like you really know your stuff. So today we're going to be talking about styrofoam. It's a big topic around the world. So common. So why don't you tell us a little about that? Like what actually is styrofoam?
Awesome. So I'm going to stop you right there because there's a little misconception out there. So expanded polystyrene is the product that most people are thinking of when they say styrofoam. Styrofoam is actually just a trademark name of a material used for thermal insulation and water barriers. So just getting a little clarity on that end. So it's made from polystyrene, which is the base material used to make toys, appliances, et cetera. And the expanded polystyrene is actually made of 95% air.
Oh, wow. That's a lot. So it probably takes up a lot of space then.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'll cover into that a little bit later.
Yeah. So how is this stuff made? Is it complicated?
Yeah. So I'm going to dumb it down a little bit into simpler terms so the viewers can kind of process it easier. So it's a combination of benzene and ethylene to create styrene. And then the styrene is polymerized to create polystyrene. And then polystyrene beads are then heated up and expanded to 40% of their original size. The beads are left to cool and then they're reheated again, but this time molded into their desired shape. So like a cup, thermos, insulator.
Wow. That's pretty interesting. So, what is it used for? Like, can you make things with it? Do you what is it used for?
Yeah. So, as a lot of people know, it has insulative powers. So it's popularly used for coffee cups, coolers, etc. Anything that you want to keep at a constant temperature inside of it. And because of how light it is, it's also used in rafts, life jackets, anything to keep something afloat. And it's also used in lost foam manufacturing, where molds are built around it and packed around, and then it is melted out to leave the cavity for a mold.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you like actually used in manufacturing of goods. So it's burned out. So, I mean, that can't be very good for the environment, right?
Yeah, of course. And being an environmentalist, I'll cover that in a little bit. But it's, that's the big thing about it is its environmental effects. First off, a lot of people know it's non-biodegradable, so it'll sit in a landfill for about 500 years to decompose. And actually, a little known fact, 20 to 35% of the volume in landfills is comprised of polystyrene products. And so 80% of EPS, expanded polystyrene, goes into landfills. And what's worse is the remaining 20% usually ends up in waterways like lakes, rivers, oceans. It can be recycled or repurposed. But the issue around that is that it's so light, it takes up so much space for what it's worth to actually transport it and bring it down into a usable product. It's also incredibly toxic. So burning it off instead of kind of letting it sit is not a safe option either. And it ends up in, when it ends up in the waterways, it's harmful to the environment, especially, and it costs millions to clean it up out of that waterway.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's something I thought of too. It seems like, you know, it costs more money to kind of get rid of the styrofoam, but really if we can find ways to recycle it, then it would actually may save money because you're not cleaning it up out of the ocean, help save those animals too.
Exactly.
It makes sense how it fills up so much space in these landfills because it's just so airy and it just takes up so much space. So you need, you kind of need a lot of it when you're using it. So it really takes, it's so much thicker than say like a plastic cup, which, yeah,
just exactly. Yeah. So I just wanted to jump in. One of the biggest, users of, polystyrene products is restaurants. And especially now in the pandemic, when everything that these restaurants are doing is takeout, their main resource is these polystyrene, products. So then when we're in a time where everything has to be takeout, they're buying more and more, and it's being thrown away more and more. So it's just contributing more to this problem that we're seeing.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, you know, these businesses are hurting and they need the cheap alternative. And that's the styrofoam, or the fancy word. What did you call it again?
Polystyrene.
Yeah. Yeah, it's using a lot. Yeah, everything has to be single use. It's pretty crazy. And something exactly. Actually that you said earlier that caught my attention is that you said it can be recycled. See, I've always been under the impression, and I feel like a lot of people are, that styrofoam so bad because you can't recycle it, but you actually can.
Exactly. That's kind of why I'm on the show here today. I want to bring more awareness to issues like this. And one thing that people have to know is that it is recyclable. It can be done. People shouldn't just think to just throw it away because it's just, you know, it's, well, as people call it, styrofoam. Like, it's just, yeah. No one thinks twice about it is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely needs some light shed on it. So what are some other options for styrofoam?
Yeah. So the big one people probably think of is reusable products. They can be more costly up front, but like I said, it's definitely, it helps in the long run. With now in the pandemic, it might be a little bit tougher for these companies to implement reusable products when there's guidelines that everything has to be single use. Paper products are another option. Like I said, they're more expensive than the polystyrene products. So that's the issue there. And like I said before, the recycling of EPS is probably the best bet. It is expensive to transport it because of how much space it takes up for what it's worth to repurpose it. But we've seen companies like Chick-fil-A repurpose their products into things like benches. They have to compact it all down. So it takes a lot of these cups that they're using and these other products to actually put it into something like a bench, but it goes a long way. And only 1% of EPS polystyrene is thrown away is actually recycled. So getting that number up to a higher percentage would definitely help. And using it in these manufacturing processes like lost foam is obviously harming the environment. I think we can move towards other processes to make other products.
Yeah. So what you said, Chick-fil-A recycles some of their cups. Yeah, because I definitely, that's a restaurant I've been to where they consistently use styrofoam, and it's a very good place. Love their chicken sandwich, but that styrofoam, it catches my attention every time. So yeah,
exactly.
That's good that they do some of that recycling. So yeah, like you said, what do you think is kind of the future? Because it seems like the environment has almost been put on a back burner right now during the pandemic, but what do you think the future is, like just moving away from this styrofoam?
Yeah, exactly. So with, like you said, in the pandemic, it kind of, the spot they're in, it's a little weird spot because there are less companies are in season right now. They're not working as much. So some things are helping the environment, but like I said, stuff like takeout restaurants are harming with their, increased uses of EPS products. So it kind of goes both ways in the spot that we're in. But overall, I think slowly moving away from these polystyrene products is definitely the best bet. Make sure that the future uses of EPS are properly recycled. Get that number up from 1% to a higher threshold. We got to find uses for the EPS products that are currently in the landfills, because like I said, 80% of EPS is in landfills. And 25 to 35% of landfills is EPS. So I think taking that, like I said, it has 500 years to decompose. So there's definitely a lot of life left in these EPS products that are there. And we got to emphasize the fact that something must be done, or we're headed on a slippery slope right now. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, exactly. There's definitely need to pay attention to the earth and the environment, because, I mean, you just need to put time and money into researching these recycling techniques and new uses for the EPS. So, yeah, thank you so much, Drew, for coming on. Loved having you. Shed some wisdom.
Awesome. Thank you for having me on here. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. So that's going to wrap up today's episodes. Tune in next time when we have our guest on talking about straws. Thank you.